I'm not going to play devil's advocate and just be like, yeah, but there are people that don't want to pay. Because, yes, there are.
Yeah, there are.
And
yeah.
just because you made a reasonable attempt, like you're explaining, to solve this scenario doesn't mean that it's going to be taken care of.
Hey, so you can just put a smile on my face.
Just like that. All you needed is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, for the countdown on the camera on there. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Good. You?
Good. I'm good, everybody. This is the Make Trades Great Again podcast. And I got to remember to look at the camera while I'm talking. I was looking at an episode on YouTube the other day, and I was like, man, I look down at my paper a lot while I'm talking to you. I don't know why. Andy, so today, you and I are both part of this Facebook group, and we see for the software we use, House Call Pro, and there's often, or not often, just it comes up, right? People post on there looking for advice from other business owners.
Yep.
What do you do? How do you handle when somebody stops payment I think nowadays it's a credit card. You know, what is it called?
Yeah, dispute.
Dispute a payment on a credit card. It comes up in that group. I wouldn't say like regularly, but it's not. It's not more often than to see, put it that way.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that? Should we talk about that today?
I think it's a good thing. I think it's important for business owners, and especially anybody that's new in business, to understand that it is a thing.
That they can stop payment, that they can dispute something, that you could work for somebody, do the job, and they could try to not pay for it?
Right. I know that, I don't know, 15 years ago or so, we bought some furniture.
Okay.
From the furniture store. Went down, oh yeah, this is what we want, you know, and I don't know, $2,500 or something like that, $3,000 worth of furniture. It was like a couch, I think is what it was.
Sure.
And
your bougie.
The guy's like, oh yeah, should be here.
Furniture store. Just
kidding. Yeah. But, guy's like, hey, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, you know, the thing will show up. Okay. Sounds great. You know, it was in the fall. And we're like, oh yeah, we got, you know, a bunch of family coming over for Christmas, whatever. It'll be here by Thanksgiving.
Okay.
No big deal. Well, Thanksgiving comes and goes, and middle of December's rolling around, and we're, you know, calling over there like, hey, what the heck, what's going on? And they're like, oh, we haven't seen it yet. You know, it's out for delivery. You know, it should be here this week, you know? And I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, it's
on some whatever car somewhere.
Yeah. And it was just kept getting this roundabout thing. Oh, you know, there was a snowstorm, you know, prevented it from getting over the pass. And I was like, okay. You know, I mean, and you go on and, you know, Christmas came and went and didn't have the couch. And, you know, so I think it was in the spring, probably end of January or something like this, you know, like 3 months after this thing's supposed to have been here.
Okay.
And we call down there and they're like, no, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. It'll show up when it shows up. And we're like, well, this is ridiculous. I mean, like, we haven't gotten anything. We paid for the thing in full.
Yeah.
Because that was your policy. And they're like, well, there's nothing we can do about it. You know, we can't make them deliver it. And I'm like, but in December, you told me it was stuck on the pass. So is it like still there? Is this like Donner Pass? Did somebody eat the thing? I mean,
what's Donner Pass? Is it like the Oregon Trail
here?
It's part of the Donner, but it's on the back of some wagon.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, what? Okay. Anyway, the guy's like, no, there's nothing you can do. It'll show up when it shows up, you know? And I was like, this is a bunch of crap. Well, we called the credit card company and they're like, well, if you haven't gotten your product and they said that was going to be here, you can dispute the charges.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, well, I guess, I mean, at this point I'm pissed off at these people and I don't want the couch anymore.
Yep.
You know? And so we did, we disputed it. And what we ended up determining is that after a long, drawn out thing, we found out that right on the bottom of their receipt is that there's no refunds on for any reason on custom ordered items.
Yeah.
And what they pulled was their refund clause. And then the credit card company basically said, hey, listen, you know, they went to bat for us and set, and basically got us half our money back. And we lost $1,200 on the deal.
And you didn't get a couch.
And we did not get a couch. And then the company went out of business. So it was inevitable going that way anyway. I don't think that we were ever
the company
get it,
meaning but. The furniture, the local furniture store yeah. that you bought it from, like that brick and mortar part of yep. the company. Okay.
Yeah. So regardless, we ended up getting half our money back, and then they basically we disputed it. We got all of our money back, and then they backcharged us because of this clause, and the credit card company went through this. What do they call it? A litigation.
Yeah.
Where right. the vendor and the credit card company basically submit information, and then that was it, you know? And we were like, oh, well, I kind of feel screwed. And I was like, well, you know, I guess.
Okay. Well, what if you paid me
yeah.
To put a new heating system in your house and I didn't deliver? Yep. How would you handle that? I mean, that's what we're up against. And that's what we're although up against. You and I are delivering, and I think that these people that we see these comments, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, and here's why. Yeah. So we see these posts in this Facebook group, and I don't believe that I'm of the belief, put it this way, I'm of the belief that probably 9 out of 10 or more people in this Facebook group are, I mean, they're
yeah.
purportedly they're they're business owners, like they're, I can't, you know, I don't know these people, so I can't vouch for the, like, if they're ethical or just like not, you know, if they're totally cool or not, but I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that they're using this software, that they're at a place in their professional life that they're, you know, on the up and up, put it that way. I mean, it's kind of a loose term, right? But so I think that going into every time I read these posts and I see these people say, all kind of all the same thing. Like, we did the work, we billed them, and then they never paid. And then they disputed, and you know, credit card wins every time. Credit card company always sides with the customer. So
yep.
let's kind of unpack that a little bit, because that's like your credit card sided with you, right? I mean, admittedly, and there was only so much that they could do legally, because some, you know, attorneys got involved with the other company, I'm sure.
Sure.
But how would you handle if you were gonna, if you did work, your guys were out on a job, you know, you estimate a job, they accept the estimate, you go out, you get your deposit, you order materials, you put them on the schedule, you do the job. And then if somebody doesn't pay you, how would you go about that in this situation? Really from the start, because initially to me, it's got to start as like, they didn't pay the invoice, right? Or do you think this is a situation where people are just they're just disputing like immediately?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've seen those posts. And I think from the business owner standpoint, a customer of ours were to dispute a charge, I would first off be like, hey, we got to chat. I mean, what's going on here? You know, like what part do you not understand about why I charged you? I mean, I think that's a huge part of it of, I guess coming to a common ground.
Yeah.
And sometimes I know that's not possible. I mean, we just had one here a few weeks ago that was whatever, where it just didn't end well.
Yeah.
You know, there was a very high expectation from the customer, and we were physically unable to provide that expectation due to parts availability. It wasn't anything, you know, wasn't anything we did wrong. It was just, we don't carry parts for 27-year-old Carrier furnaces.
Yeah.
And they didn't feel like they should pay the Saturday charge.
Oh. Yeah, but I mean, having done jobs, though, like, you know, these people are talking about the situation, too, where they performed the work, right?
Yeah.
I had one job during COVID where I did a boiler changeout.
Okay.
I got my 50% down, as I require to order materials and schedule. Without that, I'm not doing the job. And so I go out, install the boiler and water heater. Wintertime scenario, everything is, you know, backed up on things like permitting and, you know, situation where I'm putting the job, I'm doing the job, and then I'll pull a permit later. I'm not going to pretend I don't do that because it just happens all the time. It's like kind of a regular thing in the heating industry, to be completely honest.
Right.
When you're talking, you know, well, this thing's not working and it needs replaced and we're going to do it tomorrow. Good. You know, that kind of scenario. I'm not waiting around for, you know, the permitting desk to issue a permit that's a foregone conclusion. It's going to happen. And so I had this job under regular scenario, like I said, deposit, order, get the stuff, you know, scheduled. We go out. I did the job. And my terms are you pay me before I leave. I don't typically leave without a check. Heat is on. But also, if you read my terms, it says that I literally, my terms do say this, and an attorney at, you know, Rocket Lawyer, to be honest, is what I paid, and legal in Minnesota. The attorney wrote up, and it says, upon completion, and it has some kind of clause. I'm not going to read it right now, but it's like basically saying, if this is a permit, if this is permitted work, or a permit is required to perform this work, upon, like, you know, completion, sign off on the permit.
Sure.
Okay. Well, a boiler is a permitted job. A water heater is a, you know, and both, this job have both. Well, back to that whole, I didn't pull a permit because this all happened in the short amount of time. And there was enough time in between the time they accepted the job and I did it, probably 2-3 days. I could have pulled a permit, but I didn't. Sure. But here's the deal. Let's go back. It was during COVID. They were not going to jobs at this moment in time. I remember very clearly. Yep. My customer did not accept that because they looked at it like, well, I did a job that required a permit.
Yeah,
I did not get it inspected. Until. They felt that they weren't going to pay the final invoice, the amount due, regardless of the fact that I don't want to leave without a check until I had that signed off on the inspection report. Well, long story longer. Look, I didn't pull the permit. At that point in time, I had not pulled the permit, like I already said. I couldn't get an inspection on something that wasn't even on the books on the city side. And so they were withholding payment. And then they threatened to dispute the charges for the deposit. And I, you know, meanwhile, I don't think I'm an unreasonable person. I said, well, you know, look, I'll get the permit. It's not an issue. And they just, they weren't going to trust that I would do that. They just said, no, we'll pay you when you do that. Look, that's fine. That's all kind of within the whole, like, I should expect to operate that way. And I should expect that they hold me to it. Yep. So it's not quite the same as I did the job. They didn't pay me because eventually in the long run, I got paid. It definitely motivated me to go and take this serious because my customer did, but I don't know how I would handle the, you know, I did the work, you didn't pay me, or you dispute a charge, or, you know, like, I haven't ran into that. I have some theories why that might happen. I personally, like, when I read those, I just, like I said, I think 9 out of 10 of those people are pretty straightforward and probably up and up on their business and how they run it. Maybe they're charging too high. I think that's kind of your thought process. Maybe they're at that, like, upper end spectrum of the price range and, like, people are, like, like, buyer's remorse almost. Or
I think
maybe
I think
there's that people that are just jerks and don't want to pay their bill.
I think all of the above for sure.
Okay.
I don't think that anybody should assume that the customer couldn't potentially have that notion of, you know what, screw these people. That shouldn't have cost that much.
Right.
I'm going to dispute it.
Right.
Right. And then I'm just going to cause hate and chaos for you know, hitting discontent for the next 6 months while we sort this out.
Well, I'm and yeah,
and ultimately, I mean, at that point, I mean, if as a service provider, you have to understand that you may not be notified that they're disputing this charge, right?
Okay.
You may not know until you go to look at your bank account or you go, wait a minute.
Right.
There's $5,000 missing out of my account. Yeah. Why do these numbers not match?
Yeah. The terms are when you sign up for merchant services through like a credit, you know, yep. What that means, if you don't know what that means, somebody listening, merchant service is the generic term of we are a company that allow you to take credit card payment.
Yep.
And so you sign up for some X, Y, or Z merchant service, and the terms are the bank situation, the deposits coming your way, it's a two-way street. They can because if there's a clerical error and they deposit, let's say the company owes you $100, you take payment on a credit card and you're expecting $100 from that processing company because, you know, minus fees, all that stuff. And let's say they put $1,000 in because somehow the computer added a zero. Right. Well, they have every right to automatically, without notice and without repercussion, take the $900 back. This is the way it is. Same thing. Did you know this is the same thing too when it comes to like direct deposit for an employer employee situation? Yeah. If they overpay you, they can just take the money back.
Right.
You know, okay. Yeah. You know, so let's all just accept that. That's not anything new.
Yeah. But a lot of people don't understand that.
Right. Right.
I mean, we witnessed this. I mean, a dozen episodes ago or 28, 30 episodes ago, we had the old Bob stole my van episode. And that was this kind of the same concept.
Oh,
you know,
man. I forgot about Bob, the career criminal.
Career thief.
Dialing back odometers and stealing vans from across the border.
One of the wet bandits, but.
state lines.
That's right. But anyway, I mean, so where, you know, you get something like that where you're like, oh, you know, $29,000 goes missing out of your bank account. And you're like, wait, what? What do you mean it's gone?
Well, most people couldn't handle that.
And we wouldn't have either if we hadn't have, you know. I don't know. At that point in time, we would have probably had to transfer funds back into that account to repay the amount, or otherwise it would have been a negative balance account.
What I'm saying is, like, in reality, most small businesses
wouldn't
even have that cash available. Let's just be honest. I mean, not everyone. There's plenty that would be just fine.
But
Bob, oh man, that episode, if you're looking for that episode, I should try to find that while you're talking. That was a good one.
But that's the gist of it, is if the customer goes back to their credit card company and says, hey, listen, I don't agree with this charge. The credit card company is going to say, well, if you proceed down this path, we will take back all of the money that you paid. We can't dispute part of it. We're not going to get involved in that. But if you claim that the services were not rendered or that this is a fraudulent charge, you pick which one are you doing.
Right.
And then the credit card company takes action based on that. If it's fraudulent, then they require some sort of proof backup. If it's just, hey, the services weren't rendered, we're going to back charge the card and then we'll sort it out. And it's kind of goofy because, you know, let's say that you get paid in full.
Yeah.
You know, a boiler installation, it's $18,000. You go put the boiler in, and then a month later they go, you know, I don't really like that, or I don't feel like they took care of the job like they should have.
Yeah.
And they back charge you. The credit card company comes and takes all $18,000 of it. And you end up as the client or the merchant end up basically just SOL. You have to cover the cost of equipment. And you can't go take it out of their house.
No.
You know, I mean, and in certain situations, and I don't know how, I mean, it, 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 uh, the, res, the, what they call it, like statute of limitations for filing a mechanics lien varies in certain states.
Yeah.
I think in the state of Montana, it's 45 days. So if it's past 45 days and let's say it's at month two, then the customer disputes a charge and says, hey, you know, I this didn't happen.
Right.
They could take the $18,000 back and I don't have any room to stand on. And with exception, I could go get an attorney and sue them.
Yeah.
Because it now constitutes fraud on their part.
Right.
Because there's hopefully in between them accepting the job, paying for the job, and then deciding they don't want to pay for the job, there's been some conversations. And hopefully those conversations have been handled in such a manner that, you know, the dispute or whatever was basically resolved before it got to the credit card company. It's not always the case, but.
No, but okay. So all of this goes down and I agree with everything you're saying. And to find yourself in that situation would really, really suck, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's where my head is stuck. Okay, you can hire an attorney if that's what it takes. I think you're looking at some scenarios, though, where a lot of people are doing jobs, and maybe it's for $1,100, $1,500, not $10,000,
yep.
$12,000, $15,000. Yep. And a dispute on that type of that level of service is going to hurt. I'm banking on every dollar that is owed to me, yep. Right? I don't look at it any other way. I mean, if you owe me here's how I look at it. I, like I said, back to my terms and how I operate the business. Like I do a job for you. It's a $350 charge, right? It's going to flat rate. Right. I'm going to come out. I'm going to do this one thing. It's $350. I expect to get paid before I leave. My customer knows that. I do the job. They pay me. I leave. And then they dispute it at $350. Listening to just now that set that over here on the shelf. Let's keep it there for a second.
Okay.
Then listening and thinking back to what you just said, you go through the whole process. You go through all this time. It's weeks now, days and weeks. And you've spent maybe hours on this, on the phone, emailing back and forth. You're trying to figure out if your bank can help you. You're trying to figure out, is there insurance for this kind of thing? Which there is, by the way. And then, do you look at all of that and say, well, I'm not going to spend time on this $350 charge, although I'm never going to do work for this person. And I hope it never happens again with anybody else, but you know, $350, I lost that money. Do you just move on?
Yeah.
Where do you stop that, though? That's my point of all of this. Where do you stop that? Right. Like, well, I mean, if it's $1,100 and I'm busy and we got all the work, and $1,100 is a hell, you know, it's almost three times as much as $350, right?
Right.
Where do you stop then? Is $1,100 enough? Do you stop at $2,000?
Yeah.
Do you just say, you know what? No, it's money owed to me. I'm going to go after it. I think the resources to do that are obviously, for me, even slightly more limited than they are for you. I don't have, you know, I've got Heather, you have Cheryl, right? But so I guess, you know, you and I are both kind of working with the same thing here. We have somebody that could possibly assist us in trying to track down this money or get it back from us, whatever. But right.
We use our wives as the strong men of the company. That's well, is that what you're saying here?
No, you know, I use mine because done. She's a hell of a lot smarter than me and more patient. Right. You know, she's eventually going to get somebody to agree with her and do what she's asking versus
whether it comes to, you know, physical force or other.
Yeah, me yelling at people, you know, and eventually it's probably what it's going to turn into, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Calling people names, which is never going to matter. And in the eyes of the law, will never change anything. Bias is never going to change anything. I'm still looking for the episode where, because I swear it was like, did Andy's van just get stolen? That's what I swear it was titled, but I don't remember. Do you remember when that was?
November 15, episode 168.
Oh, you already know?
I just clicked 2022? Into Buzzsprout. Yeah, 2022, and it was there. Like the very.
Oh my gosh, I had already scrolled past it. Yeah, you're right. Oh, that's a that episode's got a lot of downloads on it. That's funny. Okay. Yeah, so anybody, it's you want to hear about Andy's van getting stolen and the money coming out of the account or possibly, yeah. It's from November 15th of 2022. It's episode number 168. It's only 16 minutes, so it's a quick one.
It was comical how many people offered. Like, dude, I live in the area. Do you need me to go find this dude?
There you go. The Make Trades Great Again podcast. Listener audience is, it's, you know, we got people all over the place. Don't mess with
That's
us.
That's right. This world has been networked.
Oh, no. So, I think you nailed it. There's a lot to it, and there's recourse on your side, but to be expected, this can happen.
Yeah.
It's an option.
Yep. Well, I think I my personal feeling is I feel like if you're, I don't know what the word is not fair. If you're responsible about how you respond to customer complaints.
Yeah.
And be aware that, you know what, maybe the industry that you work in is an expensive industry.
Sure.
It's easy to be like, well, that's the price. Suck it up. Whatever. It's what it is.
Right.
And it's also easy to go, you know what? Let's chat. Let's talk. How about I come over? Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's figure out a solution here. And in that particular case, it may be in your best interest to say, hey, let's go have a cup of coffee, figure out however you're going to handle it. You know, maybe it just requires you coming over, going back over to the customer's house or place of business and saying, okay, what are your concerns with the installation? Well, I don't really like this and that doesn't really work right. Oh, well, I guess I wish I'd have known that because I'll take care of it. Let's fix it. That you're right. There's something wrong here. And that could be that very simple little, you screwed up and the customer's legitimately pissed off that they paid a lot of money, or maybe they only paid $350 for this repair, but it isn't right.
No, I think you're being very reasonable. I think that that is probably a very reasonable way to approach and expect some sort of resolution out of it. I'm not going to say you're wrong. I'm not going to play devil's advocate and just be like, yeah, but there are people that don't want to pay. Because, yes, there are.
Yeah, there are.
And just because you made a reasonable attempt, like you're explaining, to solve this scenario doesn't mean that it's going to be taken care of. Yeah. I think I don't want to be negative. And put it this way. So I don't, you know, I've read these comments or these posts on why we're talking about it today. I've read them on other groups. I've seen people talk about it here and there. I've seen them within my own comments over the years. Like, I don't like taking credit card because people can stop and, you know, like, and every time I've read this, I've thought like, well, that's never really happened to me. What are you doing? Why is that a thing? Like, it's always surprised me that this is, something somebody had to deal with. And I feel the pain, like that would really suck. Right.
Yeah.
But then I also have to be honest and real with myself and anybody that might want to talk about this and say, like, I don't think any of those people just set out one day and just said, I don't want to take credit card payments because I'm afraid people won't pay me or take their money back. It just had to happen eventually, right? And so then it's all reactive. My point being is this. I don't think my head was like, well, I'm just lucky. You know, I live in the Midwest. People don't really do that. Yeah, until they do. You know what I mean? So, like, it's going to happen to me, odds are, because I take a lot, you know, I make do a lot of transactions in a year, right? Yep. And I guess I'm just lucky it hasn't, to be completely honest. Because we've already brought it up, terms, conditions, people sign, it's a contract, you know, the lawyer will find a case for you too, and for your, you know, for the, I don't know who the plaintiff is and all that stuff. I need to watch more Law and Order or whatever,
more Law and Order.
You know, for the customer and, you know, there's, everybody's got a leg to stand on here, one way or another. But yeah, nobody, I don't think anybody's going into this thinking they're just not going to get paid.
Yeah. I mean, the whole reason why the dispute process is even a thing is because merchants screw people.
No, you're right.
It goes both ways.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. I mean, no, you're 100% right.
You know, I mean, that's the reason why the entire process is there, is that somebody needs to be there to be like, oh, yeah, you can't do that. And, oh, by the way, you were wrong in taking that person's money, and now we're going to give it back.
Fair point.
You know, so I guess I question, we were talking about this before we started recording, that I think that sometimes we end up operating in a position where you're at the highest point of risk of that. And I don't know if that makes sense.
You mean based off of, you know, you're commanding, you know, charging a premium amount of money for service that you provide.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think if the higher you operate into that range, you know, let's say you're the most expensive service provider in that industry in your area.
Yeah, but that's even relative just based off of what people feel they should pay for something. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. 100% is. You're charging at the top amount.
Yeah, I think if you operate in that top amount, and I think the other thing is if you operate in a service industry that's, I don't know if the word elective is the right word.
Yeah, window washing. You know, I don't have to have my windows washed, but I choose to.
But I like to. Yeah, it's nice to have nice clean windows.
Yeah.
And if you're in that, let's say you're in the bougie window washing industry, right?
I'm going to tell you, that's bougie anyway. You ever see how much it really costs? Like, for real?
Well, I come and it's $250 a window, and I use Rainbow Bubbles, okay?
Yeah, okay.
And I have, you know, whatever.
That $250, that's your coupon price to get them to call you, though, right?
Right. Yeah. So when I actually get there, because the window's bigger than 12 by 12, it's $325 a window. You know, I don't know. Whatever the bougie service is. And sorry to any window washers that are out there that are listening, because I'm not picking on you, but I am.
Yeah.
If that's where you're operating at, I would say if I were in that position, I would expect to have more disputes. Right. If you're way out there on the edge of the market, you're going to get more people complain about the price.
Yeah.
No, and I'm not saying you should operate in the middle or at the bottom where there's no complaints, because that's not.
You're just saying that as your prices go up, the likelihood is higher that you're going to deal with these kinds of situations. Yes.
And I think we've seen it. You and I have probably seen more of that in the last 3 to 5 years as our material costs have increased.
I think absolutely. I think especially the last 6 months.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Our bid pricing goes up and people are like, oh, I didn't know freaking new Kohler toilet was $700.
Oh God. Yeah. $1,500. Right. And you're like, $1,300 bucks to swap a toilet out now, provide and, right? You know, think about that. Water heaters. I bring it up 1,000 times. No, you're right. I think our prices are so I'll only speak for myself. Yeah. I've never charged more for anything in the past than I am right now. And that should always be the case, right?
That should be the standard, yeah. But it seems to you and I, it seems not. I don't know if the word exponentially higher is it, but it seems significantly higher than what we saw for the previous 10 years.
No, I know, but here's the biggest challenge with that goes along with that is that I think right now we're experiencing. Maybe you are not. Maybe you are a little. I think for sure in my market and other, I was just with a group of 40 different plumbing heating guys and gals. I think we are experiencing all over the country a significant slowdown. And so we're at a scenario now I'm afraid that I'm already getting the pushback on the cost of things. Yeah. You know, here's my proposal for that job. And, I'm anticipating now a little bit. I just got done saying I don't ever think the people aren't going to pay me, but now you bring up a great point. The the likelihood right. that this is going to happen increases the more you have to charge. But I think it's a yep. also kind of like the inversely, like at the same time, people have like less money now. They just do.
Yeah.
It didn't get any cheaper for us to operate.
No. No, but what we've seen here, especially in the last 6 to 9 months, 12 months, is with this interest rate increase.
Yeah. It's catching
that up. cost of delivering materials, all of those associated costs, the materials themselves have been very stable for the last 12 months. We're in that first quarter. We're going to see these price increases. Yep. But I think that what we're seeing is the reflection of interest rate increases and people aren't spending as much.
Man, this is a whole nother conversation. We're getting deep on this. Let's talk about that in the next episode. I really do want to talk about that. That's I'm starting to feel it on my end. And so I think it's worth let's do that another episode.
Yep.
I think we call it on this one.
Well, I guess before we close on this episode on this topic. Yeah. I mean something that we have done and people will maybe say, "Well, you know, you shouldn't have to do that." When we first set up our merchant services account, I read through the majority of the terms and services and saw that component about, well, the insurance, we can take our money back. And intentionally, we created a separate bank account.
Just for a credit card?
That's not attached to it. And all of our credit card payments go into that. And basically once a week, the money comes out of that account.
Sure. And so you have a different eye on it. It's not mixed up with all of your other finances.
Exactly.
That's a great point. I never thought about that. I should do that. I take enough credit card payments that I could definitely my bank would totally be on board with just opening another account or something like that.
Yeah. You don't have to tell them why you're doing it.
No. I'm just like,
but
there's free and then there's not free necessarily. Yep. Like there are fees and all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure I would qualify right in with the, I don't want this to cost money. Put it that way.
No, the way that we understand that this whole process will work. Cause it's only, like I say, it's only happened once and our concept or our thought process behind it worked. And that was that if we carry a relatively low balance in there, we're going to notice it. So for instance, the van thing, right? We deposited that into our merchant services account.
Okay.
Pulled that money back out of that, put it into our general operating account.
Yeah.
And when the bank came back and said, "Hey, we're taking that money back," the, I don't remember, it was Chase Bank.
They said, "You don't have enough money in your account though."
They came back and said, "You don't have enough money." And then our bank called us and said, "Hey, you're getting an overdraft charge."
Yeah.
Because you don't have enough money to repay this bill. And we're like, "What are you talking about?" And that's what the red flag came up.
I got you.
Otherwise, it could be in our general account and 30 grand goes away.
That's good. That's, you know, you need to, these little nuggets like that we could talk about. We need to put it on a list of things though. All right. I love it, man. I think you add a ton to this that I wasn't thinking about, and I appreciate that. I appreciate everybody listening, too, and you can hit us up on the DMs. In the show notes on your app you're listening to, there's an opportunity for you to leave us a message over on Instagram if you want to do that. Great. If you want to follow us, that's awesome. I'm at Mechanical Hub. Andy is at Mick, M-I-C-K, underscore Plum. And then, of course, you can email us. And, Andy, you always give out the email address. So what is it?
I do. It's maketradesgreatagain@gmail.com. It's a nice, fat, long one.
Yeah.
I would ask this, too. Do us a favor. In the DMs, DM Eric or I or both, tell us what your favorite podcast is to listen to.
Yeah.
I'm not asking, like, to scratch my own back, whatever. If we're your favorite, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
But I'd like to know what it is that you listen to and why. Doesn't have to be a long thing. Just tell us.
Great idea. I'd love to hear that too.
Just curious.
I would like to hear that too. All right, guys. Thanks, Andy. Thank you. I'm going to hit stop now.
Have a good one.